There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
Man, that Michael Jordan, man, he's good at basketball, huh?
Yes, he
is. I ended up falling into the Last Dance hole myself. I was so excited because episode 5, they finally got to the shoes.
Yes.
Yes, tell me more about the shoes. Go, you go, boy. But I tell you what, Michael Jordan was really, he was very serious. But I think if I could have just been there on the team, a towel man.
Sure.
Maybe some kind of ball man or something. I don't know what you do there. I could have made MJ smile.
Well, I think the fact that you resemble Jerry Krause in almost every way may have triggered him to be so angry that you would still have the welts from his towel snap on your bottom, on your face. You would look like one of the burglars from Home Alone after the iron smashed their nose. I feel like you would be so sad every night. But the cool thing is, you can still say you work with Michael Jordan.
Well, I would still show up with the ring.
Exactly.
Right? I'd have 6 rings in all my hands. Be like,
just the one
MJ
ring that goes around you like a bracelet?
They're just making these bigger and bigger, huh? MJ, I just got to say, seeing you jump is an inspiration to little Polish 36-year-old men.
Absolutely. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Side Stories. Ben with Henry. Yeah, The Last Dance. It is over. If you haven't watched it yet, highly recommend. It's a good reminder things change, especially when it comes to shoes. Converse were the king. Everyone,
Converse
Larry Bird,
were the king.
Magic. Everyone is talking about Converse. And you know what? Michael said, Nike, get out of here. He wanted Adidas. But sometimes you
Adidas.
Don't know what you want until what you want wants you. And Nike wanted Jordan.
That's a really good point, Kissel. That's true. Because sometimes you don't know what you want until what you want wants you. Sometimes
Absolutely.
It's got to come back around. Sometimes you have no fucking clue. Because I don't like Adidas shoes because they fall apart as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
that's my main critique. And I'm going to get shit for this too.
Wow.
I don't know where this is going. We're completely off topic.
Sure.
I don't like Yeezys.
Well, I don't know about the Yeezy. The Adidas shoe, I am pro Adidas. They make it for the wide foot. Anyway, folks, we have more killing to talk about, not just what the Bulls did to the New York Knicks in the 1990s, and I'm still pissed.
Dissected
when I watch that documentary footage, I
Dissected
cheer for the
them.
Bulls and I cheer for Jordan when they're playing anybody but the Knicks, and then I just say, could you just leave them alone? Leave the Knicks
like
alone.
You can tell what level of emotional candor Michael Jordan's ready to address the camera with by what level of scotch is in his glass, because he actually has a hard time when you're watching Michael Jordan. He has a hard time like making direct eye contact. He does not like talking about his personal life and all of his inner bullshit, because that's what he was saying. He wanted the ball, like he wanted his game to speak for him at all times, which is true.
Well,
he worked hard. Man, that must have been so scary to be at practice with Michael Jordan.
Speaking of his personal life, and we'll get to a kind of a cute true crime story here. Actually, right now, a thief broke into somebody's car and accidentally left 100 mini bottles of Crown Royale in the back. That was in Baltimore, which is a gift that the thief gave. And again, you never know what you want until what you want wants you. This thief wanted to break into their car. They didn't steal anything because people don't have CD players and the CD pamphlets any longer. They just left them 100 bottles of whiskey. And you're totally right, man. MJ loves his whiskey. But you know who else he likes, Henry? Short, dumpier white people, because his best friend also looks just like you.
That's what's fun. I could be. I'm the good Jerry Krause. I'm the positive Jerry Krause.
That's how you get in. You make fun of Jerry Krause in character. Okay, I'm beginning to see how this works.
Hey, MJ, that Jerry, you know, he's kind of fat, huh? Want a cigar? Listen, I got this guy over here. He doesn't remember anything, and all he does is take tall men to good times. You know what I'm saying? He worked on my buddy Kissel, and guess what? My buddy Kissel's, he's in jail right now, so I guess the times are pretty good. MJ and I would get along famously. But you know what I think the reason why they got rid of the Crown Royal, and I don't mean to get, I feel like, again, I'm stepping into controversial territory here, Tim. I don't mean to do this so early.
Wow,
are
you about to diss Crown?
I find Crown Royal to be a bit sweet.
It is a bit sweet, Henry. That's why you can make an amazing amount of mixed drinks. I believe you can make the Incredible Hulk with Crown. You can do... You see, you don't... For a person who grew up in Queens, you have a very Polish vision of what alcohol should be.
Crown, I like a hard whiskey. I like a whiskey that's got a big boot on. I like a whiskey that's got big old pockets in it. Like, that's why I like the Garrison Brothers whiskey. That's why I like my Michter's bourbon. It's kind of... It's not as sweet. Keep it low on the palate. I like a sweeter Japanese whiskey. Mm-hmm. That just mix it up.
I agree with that. I have to.
I love booze.
Step in line here. I'm very happy you just shouted that.
I love booze.
Are you getting pulled over by the law? The only whiskey that I have had in recent memory that I thoroughly did not enjoy was Conor McGregor's Proper 12. I don't know what happened. I just feel like. It is a weak-ass whiskey, and I have not had the Metallica whiskey because I refuse to drink whiskey from a group of people who don't actually consume alcohol, which is good for them, but then don't get in the business.
They put out the Blackened, their new whiskey, and then James Hetfield fucking went back to rehab. So fucking maybe that shit actually was the opposite. It was such good whiskey, it made him forget about his family, forget about his operations, forget about his family, forget about his obligations, and just slide into that bottle like a sleeping bag filled with yelling.
All right. Well, let's go back to this story. We're going to Canton, I would assume Ohio for this. No, Baltimore. I'm sorry. It's Canton, Baltimore. So a woman, she went on her lunch break. This entire break-in occurred during her lunch break. So the guy breaks into her car. She says, quote, "I don't leave anything of value in there, so luckily nothing was taken." And then they show the picture of the greatest bag in the history of bags. Who needs money? They put those little dye packs in it that explode into your face so everyone knows you're a felon, when you could have a bag full of Crown Royale.
Look at all these fun little mini Crown Royales. What a nice thing that demented man did.
Yes, absolutely. Like a bizarre Santa Claus. Can't go down the chimney if you're too drunk to climb on top of the building or the house. This is what she said. "I called the police to see if there were reports of local liquor stores or something being broken into so I could return them. But the cops said that there wasn't. So I'm thinking, okay, this whole thing is going to conclude with her sitting at her kiddie pool, just getting lit, maybe taking a pee in public, doing whatever she wants to do, barbecuing, having fun. But she ended up just returning the bottles to the cops anyway.
Why would you do that? That was a gift.
That was a gift.
That was a gift that the universe plied onto you because of the disruption of your privacy. Because someone went in and, like, they meddled. Because, they didn't steal anything, but he probably could have taken the fucking the shifter and put it up his fucking asshole. He probably could have licked the rearview mirrors. Anything to cause his own inner chaos. What do we learn about the guy that lived in that person's house for fucking 7 days while they were on vacation? Like, you know, idea how all it takes is 5 minutes to come.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you have 45 minutes, 5 minutes, you shoot once. God knows where that goes, because then it could turn into what? Maybe I had mayonnaise in the car. Who knows? Maybe it was for my BLT.
Right.
Who knows? Give him, the 20 minutes, you're sitting on your lunch break, you don't know what's happened inside your car. His balls have re-upped.
Right.
He shoots again. Could be anywhere. You don't know where the hell it's fucking where it's come could be.
Sometimes it's not about what they take, it's what they leave. And I completely agree. If I'm this woman, I'm not checking under my car with my hands not fully covered. There could still be cum in this car. We do not know. But you can just imagine being, I'm going to call in this person a vagrant. They obviously have to have some problems.
Well, they definitely
mentally
didn't mean to leave the bag of 1,000 Crown Royals.
I think we're going to talk about a story next week, and I don't know. This is just me putting this out into the world. Man, severed head found in Canton, Baltimore. Evidently, he didn't deliver 100 bottles of Crown Royal to the head of a, I don't know.
The crime syndicate. The crime syndicate
this
of
guy,
Baltimore. You know how it
you
is.
Know this guy got his ass kicked. What do you mean, Jimmy? Where'd you put the 100 bottles of Crown Royal? You also seem hammered right now.
Let me just retrace my steps. Okay. I have my daughter with me this morning. Where's she? Where'd she go? Well, never mind. Okay, so then I broke into a car. I saw the hottest rearview mirror thing is dangling down. It looked like two square boobies with a bunch of dots on them. You ever seen
dice
them before?
Yeah, those are called
That's
dice.
Hot. That's hot. I had to give it a tug.
You masturbated on the dice. thinking that they were boobs.
You mean square-ass boobies, them square-ass cancer boobies. That's what I'd like to see them. They got the mold spots on them.
Where's the crown, Jimmy? Where's the crown?
I'm just going to say, something's in the way. That's Nirvana.
That is Nirvana.
That's the only way I can feel. I feel angst. That's where it happened. Now, obviously, I just got to thinking about how sad Kurt Cobain was about being rich.
Yeah, well, you got 24 hours to make sure we get that crown back, or you're going to be dead.
Oh, God. You know, he could have spent that money on the $500... It is a 283-pound 5G BioShield.
What?
That got sent to me. Yes, it is a 5G BioShield. The USB key provides protection for your home and family thanks to the wearable holographic nanolayer catalyzer, which can be worn or placed near to a smartphone or any other electrical radiation or EMF emitting device to keep you safe.
Wait,
from 5G and the fingers of COVID-19.
You got it's like a riot shield? Someone just randomly sent you this?
No, it's definitely real. It's a thing that you plug into a USB in your laptop and it emits you can't see this. I'm going to send this to you in an email, Kissel, so you can see just how impenetrable the holographic bubble is.
Oh,
that
wow.
Keeps you from getting in. First of all, because that 5G comes in, the first thing it makes you want to do is suck your own father's fucking dick.
Whoa!
Right?
And you didn't know that was happening.
Believe me, I was having crazy dreams when I got my new phone.
Really?
I was having crazy, awful dreams about having sex with my father. And now that that's over, I'm so happy. I got my BioShield on, but I have a more physical one. It is just a bunch of plastic tarps that I staple together, and I wrap my body in it. And what's also nice about the plastic tarps is I lose a bunch of body, water weight.
Sure.
I'm
that's how
weight.
Wrestlers die in high school trying to cut weight or in college. You have to be
but
very
if you
careful.
Look and see, this is really, I mean, there's I mean, honestly, what a fantastic deal. It's only $283 or 283 pounds for one, or 795 pounds for three for your whole family. It's got proprietary holographic nanolayer technology, quantum biological shielding technology. Holy
wow.
Shit. Protecting your home and family. This is at 5gbioshield.com. So if you want to just go do a thing that will your things might be at a fucking strain right now. You might be a bit of a strain at home.
Well, this
you're
could
dealing
be
with,
it.
You know, who knows? If you really want to push it over the edge and you just want to be completely alone during the rest of quarantine, why don't you buy a couple of these?
Oh, your partner leaves you in the in a freaking heartbeat. Your kids are going to openly mock you. You're going to be the worst father or boyfriend or brother of the year.
I don't think it's going to shield you from 5G. I think it's going to shield you from familial love.
I think that's very possible,
but honestly, at the same time, familial love is a lot of work. All right,
it
because
really
you always
got
to be responsible and show up for your obligations. I gotta make sure everybody's fed.
Okay,
I gotta make sure
all
the kids have insurance. But this type of fucking holographic shield, because what are you hearing inside that? All I'm hearing is my fucking stained, right? I got stained going on inside my 5G BioShield. My family's outside pressed on the outside like a bunch of refugees at the border. Defenses. They're all sitting there waiting, and I hate watching them cry. They're so gross when they cry.
Well,
but I'm
sad.
In there just listening to my fucking boy, just thinking about just how Stained is the only one who fucking gets me.
Well,
dude.
Obviously they're on the outside looking in. It's a bubble.
Only outside,
but I am saying that from my perspective that I'm the outside of their fucking liberal hypnotism agenda.
But you're on the
they're
inside.
The ones locked
but you're in the
they're,
middle of. But you're in the middle.
But
of
I'm
this.
Inside of a bubble. Yeah, but inside my bubble, it's a freedom. Bubble. It's a freedom cage
freedom,
that I'm inside of.
I see. So it's like freedom through containment. So you're free because you're contained within your own bubble.
Because I'm free to do whatever I want inside my 5-foot holographic proprietary nanotechnology bubble.
Well, that's great. I'm very happy that that company saw a need in the market. And of course, when I say the need in the market is just the problem with the human psyche. And they found it. They pinpointed it.
They found a way to make money off of it.
Yeah.
People's uncertainty and rage and terror, and they found a way to monetize it. And honestly, good for them.
Good for them. I mean, it is a scam, and you will lose your family if you buy it, but good for them.
Good for them. Hey, man, when it comes down to it, it's not a scam if I'm smiling.
That's a good point. Well, Henry, this week we have nanotechnology. Who cares? I want to talk to you about what's going down in Brazil, my man.
There is, this is really, really interesting. There, it seems that Brazil, this is according to therooster.com. I don't know what else is on therooster.com. who fucking knows?
They call himself the Rooster.
Publications that picked it up as well, but let's stick with the always trusted rooster.com.
Hey, man, anything that's named after a fucking Alice in Chains song, I'm totally cool with. I don't know why I'm full Lithium XM this morning. But this is interesting. But this was just an aggregate of people's posts on Twitter. That's mostly what I used it for.
Okay.
So last Tuesday, this happened right after we recorded. Right. So the Tuesday night, right after, right? Several people in Brazil. I'm going to see the town that it's called. Is M-A-G-E with expansion. I think Mague.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure. Mahe? Mage. It's a beautiful language. Portuguese. I just don't know it. All right. I don't know anything. It's just, I think I've made this joke before. It's Spanish with a lot of U's and V's in it.
It's a very difficult language, but gorgeous. Absolutely.
But there's several pieces of footage involving lights, right? So normally we get a lot of these, and I love it. I always send your orb footage. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to see it no matter what. It always thrills me. A fucking smokeable. And I watch all of them. You send them to sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. I end up watching most of this shit, especially if it's UFO or ghost involved, because I am looking for proof. I want to fucking see it at all times.
Sure.
So I watched a lot of this footage. According to the Rooster, this was just kind of they put together. It started on the late Tuesday evening.
Okay.
The small village of Mague, just outside of Rio de Janeiro. A lot of butts there.
Oh my goodness.
Now they notice a number of what they called bus-sized, lid-shaped objects flying in formation and at random speeds.
Are we still talking about butts?
If they had butts, I think the newspapers would have paid more attention and would have given the coverage more credence.
I agree.
Now, this was on therooster.com. This was also in several Reddit posts. It was, and they many people went immediately to Twitter. There was one video that came out. This is from @middleofmayhem. It shows three lights converging, turning into a form of triangle, spinning on its side. Mm-hmm. Super creepy. Not only that, but there was several pieces of footage of the same phenomena.
Okay.
That other people were watching, which was, looked like two blue orbs flying towards each other and meeting at a point and bouncing back and forth. Now, this happened a couple times. Now, what I love is a group UFO sighting. It's one of my favorite things on the face of the planet, because you have multiple people,
right,
all filming this shit. There are a bunch of people seeing this. There's probably like 10 videos.
And then we also have the direct to reaction. I guess we have the direct reaction. We don't have it 3 days later where people can be like, all right, but you also went to the bar for about 18 hours in between this. Like, it happened. Like, it was just like all in real time, because this was immediately Mage UFO. It's M-A-G-E UFO was immediately trending on Twitter.
Yes. For a hot second, people pulled out their phones and began filming, going to the Rooster. Now, they started to see Brazilian army helicopters, and there's footage of it. Them starting arriving, and one of them, there was an eyewitness that said that they saw a helicopter chasing one of the lights. Mm. The light went, helicopter came right after it. Then there's a video that is just absolutely wild. At that moment, a resident captured a video of a bright green light erupting from the sky in the area where they saw one of these lights.
Mm-hmm.
Approach the earth very quickly, and then there is a little bit of video, if it hasn't been pulled down, of a giant blue light
mm-hmm.
covering this neighborhood that looks like something fucking exploded. Right?
So dude, there's that's some, so there was trippy. Some kind of,
they have no fucking clue what it was. The next morning, Mague locals woke up to discover that the area had been cordoned off by the 32nd Infantry Battalion of the Brazilian Army.
Ooh.
Now, what they heard was there is now footage of this, of what sounds like massive explosions, gunfire. All of this shit happening in a cordoned area, right? They said it's highly illegal, highly suspicious, highly strange. And they also are saying that the government is shooting down drones that are approaching the area that are civilian drones.
Right.
You go take a look at it. They're fucking shooting them down with rifles.
Damn.
They don't know what the people don't know what the hell is going on here. I'd love to hear if we have any boots in the ground in Brazil. I would love to hear it. But it seems like as these videos were going up, they're also being immediately pulled down. Now, this is everybody. Yes. There's so many footage of these like weird little zigzagging lights that happened last night. And now there's footage of these helicopters just circling the area of whatever this thing as it fell from the sky. They are looking for it. And to me, that's why I wonder, in my mind, if it's a UFO. Well, we've seen a lot. If there is a craft of an origin that we don't know, if it's an actual craft, a lot of times what seems to be it's if the stories I've read are true, it's more of a low key extraction, right? Where they come in and covered 18 wheelers. Like those are those stories all the time where you see it's cordoned off, but it's real quiet. And mostly they say something like the key words are like environmental disaster, ecological spill, like stuff like that.
Right,
those are kind of ways to say that what they're doing. But this is strange because it sounds like they are whatever is on the ground, they're either blowing up, they're blowing it up.
It sounds
Which,
like
I wonder
a,
if it,
it sounds
if
like a
weapon.
Cover up. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this it sounds is a, like it's something.
This is according to an article here in express.uk. A lot of UFO enthusiasts, they shared Google Maps. They shared a link on Google Maps. And apparently, as they were doing this, they were being taken down, as Henry said. But Google actually responded. This is a Google spokesperson. They tried to explain the mysterious phenomenon. They say, in this case, what people are seeing in the imagery is a reflection that is temporarily overloading the satellite sensor. Essentially, the sun reflected off the surface of that building at just the right angle to briefly blind the satellite. This is a pretty common phenomenon known as saturation or blooming. So they're saying,
I don't know if you see the hand motion that I'm making. You see this hand motion?
So they're blaming the lost
just
footage.
Jamming finger. I don't know how else.
On the sun.
It's me sucking fucking the devil's cock.
Hitting
just
the satellite.
Like,
at their, yes.
Oh, yeah? Oh, it was a blooming incident?
Well,
where a, oh, a reflection downed a, oh, yeah, yeah. So that happens all the time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. How many times? Satellites are always just falling to the ground. You know what? They never make news because they always just, it's so often that when a satellite crashes into a town that like, oh, yeah, what is it? What is it? Is bread for dinner?
Yeah, you never know. Well, Chris Jericho did destroy Matt Hardy's drone on AEW Dynamite, rather, the Wednesday following. So there was something in the air last week when it comes to the destruction of aerial phenomenon. I don't know what the hell happened. It seems as if the Brazilian cops, though, I almost feel like we would have handled it the exact same way. Go shoot it.
Well,
I think they just got the objective to go shoot it.
Well, I was watching, there's a new MUFON series on Netflix called Hangar One. That is, it's interesting. It's about their super secret hangar.
It's not about them being hungry and angry.
To be honest, the only hangars I've seen around around a MUFON investigators are the male breasts.
Yes.
That I notice on the bodies more often than not.
That's
but
nice.
The MUFON series is really interesting because when Harry Truman first had UFOs buzz the White House, which is true, and like there's a story of a UFO flap over the White House, and Harry Truman's like, shoot him down! Like, as soon as he's like, immediately, we gotta shoot these new space japs. I don't know if I can say space
Harry,
japs.
Harry Truman, notoriously considered to be kind of a weak man, but then look what he did. Look what he did with those two blooming mushrooms of ours.
That's what he wanted to do. Yes, that's what he did. He brought steakhouse appetizers to Japan, and it was not welcome.
Not at all. Well, that is awesome, and I'm sure that Henry will be sniffing around that story for the foreseeable future.
They're shutting it down. They talk about it. But I wonder, I'm going to do a little bit more research about how seriously Brazil takes its UFOs, because it really goes country by country. Because the UK takes UFOs fairly seriously. They've been fairly transparent especially because you got like Nick Pope and all those kind of guys. They have a couple of guys that have they've come out of the UK government that have said stuff that they've seen and stuff that they've worked on. They're fairly transparent. The Japan is fairly transparent. China, surprisingly, is not super transparent.
No way.
It's weird. They said something about how, like, we got a UFO and it's communist and it loves waiting online for toilet paper.
Oh, isn't that nice? Well,
we make it fun here.
All right. This next story, this is a conversation. We are going to go to Omaha, Nebraska. Speaking of steak, a man was arrested one day after he sent an anonymous email. What did he send the email over? Apparently, he killed a sex offender that had been living in his area for 13 years. So
now, he sent an email to the police saying, I killed somebody.
Yes, he's like, I've killed this person. He was a sex offender, and that's why I killed him. The dude's name is James Fairbanks. He's 43 years young. Although, if you look at a picture of him, he is definitely 43 years old. He killed Matteo Condolucci. He was found dead at his residence, and the cops are like, what the hell is going on? The email... the subject of the email was, quote, stop predators. That's what he put in the subject. And then it said, I killed Matteo Condolucci Thursday, May 14th. The anonymous sender, which, again, as we learned from BTK, you can never send an email anonymously. It is
not how it works.
It is not how it works.
You have to get a burner one. We've gotten a couple recently. I'm going to say hello to the NSA because I received an email from a burner account that showed all of their challenge coins and saying, we here at the NSA listen to, and so that was nice. But you got to get a burner email. That's the one where it's got the wall of data in the beginning and then it deletes itself.
And of course, we talked about this on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, but I'm sure, Henry, you're aware of this. The FBI can now officially just peruse your search engine searches, and they can do that without a warrant now, because
I tell you what, man. You know, it comes down to it. I'm just glad that this plague has not been used as a smokescreen for anything nefarious. And there's no way that there's anything happening behind the scenes while we're all scrambling to get eggs.
No, there's no way there'll be a documentary coming out 15 years from now talking about that. But anyway, so this is according to the emailer. In the email, he said, having had my own experience with these type of predators, I know the damage he would do to kids. I've worked with kids for years who have been victimized, and I couldn't in good conscience allow him to do it to anyone else while I had the means to stop him. The email continues, I know in this messed up judicial system, that means I will face far more severe punishment for stopping him than he did for raping kids. So this is a intense story. The guy lived, Condolucci, that is the convicted sex offender. He had lived in the area for 13 years. This is my question to you, Henry. Is it appropriate? Because it's very broad sometimes when it comes to getting on these registries. Is it appropriate to keep these people on their list? Because some people call it a hit list.
I listened to a podcast called Conviction that's about the Satanic Panic, right? That I was like, been about the rash of children talking about, you know, basically accusing their parents of being a part of satanic cults and about the rush to get as many of these people as possible. And several of the parents that were involved falsely accused of molesting their children by their own children that were completely brainwashed by the police.
Right.
Right. They were essentially like given forced confessions to the police. The police then used it to flip against the parents. And as they were getting, because there was no evidence, they needed to get them on pleas and they needed to get them to go and convince, like to basically say that they are guilty.
Well, it's a Ponzi scheme in a way. It's a judicial Ponzi scheme. Much like we did with Salem. Give me two witches and you're going to be off the hook. That's ridiculous.
The idea. Yes. But because of the way our judicial system, works, I always do that. The judicial system is that they like confessions, especially if they don't have hard evidence. And so there is one of these fathers talked about how he had to take a plea deal where they were going to give him 900 years. The first plea deal was for 900 years. And he said, no, I didn't do anything. And they finally said the very end of it, they're like, all right, you can leave today. If you plead guilty and you go on the sex offender list,
right,
you can leave. And he just said yes. So is on the sex offender list because he was pigeonholed into a crime that he did not commit.
Right.
And he had to confess to because because the world had gone mad for a period of time, especially in SoCal when this where this was fucking white hot. And so he's on the sex offender list. So my question is did the guy kill somebody like that, or did he kill somebody who probably should be hit by their car? Like somebody that who's like a full on child molester, one of these priests that's been like bumped from district to district to district, because some of those guys, I'd love to choke to death with a pillow.
Apparently, Condolucci was guilty. That is my understanding in this situation.
According, what kind of lick lick was he?
To the, I don't know. They didn't put that in the story. But I would assume it's something horrible.
And that's the thing. Are we getting up to the tonsils, or is this just an outside the pants?
There's enough going on. There's enough going on to have him found guilty.
So how do we know? Do we have a black light in there?
We don't have a black light. No, this happened 13 years ago. And then I don't even know. Well, black lights were definitely around 13 years ago. They were actually the peak technology. But okay.
Black lights is what led to Led Zeppelin, Kissel.
Let's assume that Condolucci was guilty because, well, first of all, he pleaded guilty, served time. But this is according to Fairbanks' wife or ex-wife. She said, Jim called me to tell me what happened and that he was turning himself in. He just wanted to make clear that I would, you know, take care of the kids. He is a very loving and dedicated father. He usually has good judgment, according to him. He said he drove by and he saw the victim and the perpetrator, but of course the victim of the homicide in this case, he said that he saw him staring at a group of kids and then he got triggered being like, I know what he's going to do to those kids.
Was he licking his lips? Did he have like a big fork and a big knife and a fucking like
if he was like a wolf. I'm not sure if he was an animated wolf.
Was he going
with his
like,
tongue unfurling like it's a red carpet ready to go to the Emmys?
Was it a kid coming like, hey, wait a second, is that a mustache getting grown in? Get the hell out of here. Like, was he doing that? I mean, how do you know that he was sizing him up? Maybe, I mean, you know, was he just a baseball coach in his first life? And was he scouting?
Well, Fairbanks, he might know what he's talking about here. He did work in the correction system, and he did work a lot with sex offenders, obviously, you know, helping the kids. So he was, it seems as if, this
he
man,
was traumatized.
Fairbanks has
like.
PTSD, and I have PTSD mildly as well, working with just the molested kids that we worked with when I was growing up. I shook hands with a pedophile once, and I still get skeeved out by it. I didn't know he was until afterwards, and I would be like, could have used that information, because I am 12.
Tell when someone grips your hand like they, when you're a little boy,
weird,
they grip
dude.
Your hand like they're the Queen of England, they're a pedophile.
Yeah, it was
when they do a
weird.
Curtsy, when they go, nice to meet you, that's how you know that they're a pedophile.
Well, even but scarier, this guy looked like he worked at a lumber yard. He was like this huge hulking guy with a goatee. Oh, I don't know. I don't have any creative players that look like him. That facial, it's disgusting.
How did they kill him?
Well, he shot him.
Oh, all right. I thought it was like going to be worse. I thought he was going to do
just,
like the saw.
He ended
stand.
The problem. He just shot him. That's my understanding here. And so... Yeah, he sent the email. He confessed. Now he's going to obviously go and most likely be convicted of murder.
In my mind, I remember there was that one story. Do you remember it was like a fairly famous story of a guy whose father whose son was violently molested, and then he waited for the guy that like the perpetrator, the guy that it seemed to be fairly on the nose that he had molested his son, and they were transferring him, and he waited for him to be transferred, and then he shot the dude in the head, right, and he killed him. It's like a famous video that you could see.
Now, what happened with that guy?
So this was in 1984.
Okay.
Right? Local headlines have reported his sexual molestation and kidnapping by his karate coach, and then his father, there's a man named Jody Plouch, it was his father who killed him. He shot his accused abuser in front of TV cameras, and it became national news.
Damn.
Plouch actually wrote a book in 2019, this was not that long ago, called Why Gary Why. Oh my God, it's such a fucking haunting title. It's a haunting title.
Why,
it's a detailed
Gary,
account
why?
Of the events from 35 years ago. Oh my God. The title references what a law enforcement officer said when his father, Gary Plouch, gunned down Jeff Doucet in Baton Rouge, right? Because they were trying to stop him.
Right.
Let me see if he went to jail. Hold on one second. Gary Plouch, because now I have his name.
Yeah, and if you are a lawyer, here, please let us know. Sidestories, LPOTL@gmail.com. Is there some mitigating factor for this case, in the case of Fairbanks?
Yeah, he was initially charged with second degree murder. He agreed to a plea bargain in which he pleaded no contest to manslaughter. He was sentenced to 7 years suspended with 5 years probation and 300 hours community service. Wow.
Okay, they slap on the wrist.
They kind of gave him a slap on the wrist. Well, but it depends on how much, I think it's just how much evidence that they got on the molester. Because for me, if someone touched Wendy, right? If someone was trying to finger bang Wendy.
Right.
Right? Someone come and molest, right? Let's say it's her groomer, which is even in the title of the job, which is very scary.
Right.
I could see myself systematically, like, hunting that person. But in my mind, I believe it's more important to financially or personally ruin someone versus murder them.
Well, sure.
I think it's better to booby trap their house or do something where you get some bullshit on them, hire somebody to dox them, do all of that shit, make their life a living hell that they, I am for their forever enemy. I think that's more satisfying.
But at the same time, 13 years this guy has been out, and it seems as if, as we were talking about with Fairbanks, again, that's the man who shot this person. It seems like he has been going through the ringer and dealing with a lot of kids who are troubled. He had just gotten a job. He was recently working at the Omaha Public School System. This is according to a good friend of his. She says, I have no doubt that Jim, like all parents, was disgusted with that man's actions and wished justice. Again, I want it to be known that Jim is a protector who cared for some of the most vulnerable and victimized children. So that's why... obviously, literally, I got sent this story and the subject was hero of the week, question mark, because it's an interesting, you cannot kill people, but I can see where this guy was so triggered and traumatized,
damaged.
You know?
He's fucked up. I think he's fucked up. I totally agree with the idea of the parents killing the child molesters.
Right.
I'm more into that.
Sure.
Or if you don't have a personal line, I think it's a little bit more difficult. I actually think that you get way more out of just fucking crippling him by hitting him with his car or fucking beating the shit out of him. And again, hounding him, making a fucking forever game.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's more satisfying to like catch and release.
Yeah.
Catch and release.
You can't do it. It would take, you know, it's funny. We don't think about this. Obviously, you don't think about how would I react if there was a pedophile in my neighborhood that we all know is there. I happen to work with traumatized kids. You have to see that person all the time. You have to walk by. Like,
I would sign him up for every single magazine.
13 years.
Yeah.
Just 13 years of just knowing they're alive. And then your understanding of how horrible this abuse is and how it ruins these children's lives, how much work they have to overcome. They can live productive lives, but it's so much work for them. It sucks.
I believe if you're a pedophile, this is super hot take zone. I think that they should be chemically castrated if they want to move back to society. I think you need to take the penis away from them because I think it's going to be hard. I think it will be difficult for them to transition to a normal life where they are not, if your base sexuality is so adverse to whatever's going on, unless I don't know what therapy is out there to help these people. I know Ed Larson from Brighter Side, he dealt with a couple of what they said non-practicing pedophiles, which just sounds like it's the problem with somebody who has 50 assault rifles, where it just gets to a point where it's like, I know you're a fan of these guns, but at some point you're looking at them and you need one of those guns going like, hey, don't you just want to kill the pizza guy? And you're like, you know what, Mr. Rifle, sometimes I do.
Well, there's no need to have 50. You can only use one at a time. Maybe two.
If you could use it in either hands, but you got to build up. You got to do a lot of curls.
That's right. I know it's, but like, everyone's like, oh, I'm like Arnold. I'm like Stallone. It's like, no, they're actually kind of heavy and they're very tough to aim like that. And probably we're a one gun people.
Yes.
But on top of that, I also, just a couple of months ago, I interviewed a therapist for non-offending pedophiles. And again, if you do not offend, and you're getting help, that's what we have to do. Keep things out in the open and
but
try
what are you
to
gonna
protect
do? You're
children.
Gonna go and fucking get lunch with these people? You can't go with them to a Chuck E. Cheese, you can't go with them to the Red Lobster, you can't go with them to a Chili's or an Applebee's, because those are just, I mean, honestly, that's like a fucking pedophile nest.
I don't even want to think about Applebee's right now. I'm putting it out of my mind to pretend as if I don't want to go there because, you know, they got cheap margaritas and big Bud Lights and their appetizers are so good.
But Kissel, I would say that this is, you can take this as an opportunity, and I know you won't, but I have. This is a way to learn how to perfect your own personal margarita recipe. And you can go, because that's what we want to do. We're going to start doing it, like, start making Rita Saturdays.
Okay.
Where I just sit out on the stoop, because LA's starting to relax their public drinking laws.
Yes.
Like New York. We're starting to be able to drink on the street.
That is one of the unintended benefits. Yes, indeed. And I can't wait to get that wonton taco one of these days.
Yeah, but those wonton tacos is also just the name that a lot of these pedophiles have for their main girlfriends.
All right. Well, let's just quickly do this one story. Henry mentioned, I believe you mentioned cars. I believe you mentioned hit and runs.
This is crazy.
There's a 29-year-old dude. His name is Lawrence Paul Mills III, which is like, you're not going to be. Well, they went a little overboard with Lawrence Paul Mills III. Okay,
he definitely sounds like somebody who ran for president in 1884.
And if you,
but he's not.
No, he's not. Also, I had a great conversation with Vermin Supreme, so check that out on Top Hat. Vermin is like, dude, he is the best. Anyway,
he sounds hilarious. So I love his outfits.
This dude, he killed a woman. This dude's 32 years old. He killed a pregnant woman in a hit and run. And you're like, all right, well, that sucks. If that was the story, we wouldn't be covering it. Apparently, this is the third hit and run this dude has had. So now the question is this man the first serial killer that has used his vehicle as his main weapon?
He is. I mean, it is highly interesting. This comes from Jalopnik.com, which is, I believe it is a car. I'm looking this up. This is a car blog, like a technology and driving blog, that somehow this happened. It's filed under car crime. This is written by Aaron Marquis. It's called This Might Be the First Serial Killer to Use a Car as a Murder Weapon. A man charged in three hit and runs in Michigan might just be the first serial killer to use his car as a weapon. Lawrence Paul Mills, he was charged in another hit and run attack on four Detroit women. But it turns out what he was doing, investigating determined, this is according to Chief James Craig for Click on Detroit. Investigation determined that he would approach his victims for paid sexual encounters. So these are all sex workers.
Interesting. Okay.
He'd engage in the sexual act inside his vehicle and follow the act. After the victims would leave the vehicle and they were on, and following the act, after the victims would leave the vehicle and they were on foot, he would then use his vehicle as a weapon, striking the victims in each of the four and possibly fifth case. And they believe he then would take his money back, which is how I spent afternoons when I was a fucking, I forget when GTA first came out. But that was like what
in the video game world. Yes, this is how you spend an afternoon in Grand Theft Auto. So you think that is this the only time that we would ever have to concede a point when it comes to video games causing real life violence?
I mean, it definitely, I don't know if it gave him the idea, but it definitely put it out into the zeitgeist.
Well, this is according to Kim Worthy. That's the prosecutor. They're still saying, so we're getting some conflicting information. Is this the fourth case, the third case? But the case that they're charging with him now is the third case. So they say this is the third case where we have charged this defendant. The alleged conduct of Mr. Mills is deeply concerning. I applaud Detroit Police Department investigators for the excellent work and staying on the course since 2017. So this dude has been active for 3 years. He has potentially a body count of five. It seems like the MO is similar to a lot of serial killers, where he's attacking sex workers.
Technically, he is a serial killer because he just got over the lip in terms of victims and then victim numbers. And then this, it's highly interesting because he is dehumanizing the process entirely by hitting people with his car. So it is like, it's closer to a Son of Sam than a Ted Bundy, where he has a weapon between him and his victims.
Right.
And it might just straight up be about, very similar to Peter Sutcliffe, who we just covered, the Yorkshire Ripper, about this concept of there's something enraging about spending the money. There's something about this idea that I spent money to have sex,
right,
and for some reason it makes you lesser than, which is like, no, it's just... You went to a sex worker and they did their job. You paid someone to do their job.
Absolutely.
It's like going to a bar and a bartender, or like it's anybody. It's like it's technically like a dentist or like real dentists, which we've talked about in the first place. How often they fucking probably
they
touch your balls when you're asleep.
99% of dentists, they just work on your mouth. They don't unzip and do, they don't unzip the teeth of your zipper to do anything bad with
Not
you.
Not all of
but
them.
You talk with a, you talk to a stripper, for example, they will tell you there is no greater indicator that someone is up their own ass than when they are amazed that they have to pay $20 for a lap dance or $50.
Like, why do you think they're doing this?
What do you like? You are not a handsome. You are the prey. They are not the prey. You are. You give them money and shut the fuck up and say thank you.
You showed up in sweatpants to a bar. So it could get faster to your dick. You think she's going to be all over you in real life? If she was over you, all over you outside of the bar, she's going to just steal from you.
Can you imagine? It's like asking someone who works at Arby's to like make you a dinner when they're off their shift. Make me a roast beef off your shift. It's like, no, I'm at work. You are nothing.
Yeah, and
to
I don't
me.
Have
you
access to my liquid roast beef that I have to boil and then shave.
I don't know what's going on with my brain, bro, but I saw an Arby's commercial the other day and I was like, damn, man, that roast beef looks good. I also had 2 pounds of cream cheese this weekend, dude.
That's not good, man. It's not good for your innards, man. You know what you do? This is what I'm saying. Every time I eat something bad, when I want to eat something bad,
you flog yourself and say, daddy,
I know, I
did
just,
something wrong.
I get a pile of salad, too. I get a lot
so
of
you
salad,
eat more.
Make my
so
own salad dressing.
So your punishment is eating more? You were like every Midwest mom who goes through the chicken Caesar salad phase?
The salad, you ever mock a chicken Caesar salad.
It's worse
salad,
for you than a burger.
What it does is it gives something for your guts to churn up among all the leaves.
Another great Dr. Corder from the
Look
two,
at me, man.
The two
you can
guys
hear
with you know
I'm,
health
I'm in
the
my
best.
Underwear. I'm literally in my underwear sitting at my table. I should probably not be like this because Jackie's going to end up sitting in this just in a pool of my grossness.
Well, you guys shared the same womb, so there's nothing new there.
Yeah, just hanging on to my mom's bush hairs saying, let me get back in there, mommy. Uh-huh. I actually came out fairly fast. I was a preemie.
Yes, of course. You couldn't grip anything or suck your mom's nipple. I'm so amazed that you were able to live actually, by all animal standards, you should have been left to die.
She fed me on hamburger meat, and I learned to suck nipples later on as a man.
Mm-hmm. Sure you did. Well, do you have another tale, or is it time for Hero of the Week?
Speaking of sucking nipples, yeah, this is a good one. This comes from CBS 46. You know, again, people get lonely during this time period.
Sure.
It's hard to make connections, you know, and you think like, oh, like, what do I have to do to touch somebody? What do I got to do?
Right.
Sometimes the only thing to do when you're lonely, make a trip to the morgue?
What?
Making man busted for necrophilia in public. And this comes from Colin Van Buskirk, who is just so excited for their route on the newspaper. I'm certain that they love that this fell on their table.
Yes.
This comes from this, according to him. So this is definitely one that you should probably, some things have to be seen to believe, according to this author.
Well, I don't need this to see it. I believe it happens.
That's what this says. This one you should definitely just stick to reading, which I think is very funny.
Sure.
Now, this was early in the morning, this Sunday morning, Bibb County Sheriff's deputies responded to a complaint regarding two people having sex on the front steps of a Daybreak Day Resource Center on the 100 block of Walnut Street in Macon.
Okay.
Now, I'm certain they're like, well, you're supposed to be quarantining.
Right.
Hopefully they got masks on, you know, and that shit. Deputies arrived. They found out that it was a legitimate call. There were two people. They were having sex. Deputies said, hey, come on, move along. Hey, what are we doing? Hey, you know what I mean? The deputies broke the two up. They asked the male to get dressed. I guess he got fully fucking naked to do this in the middle of the morning.
Really? That's actually kind of interesting. You would think this guy would be, to go back to Peter Sutcliffe, you would think he would have, you know, some kind of apparatus where he could pull him up quick and scamper on out of there.
Do you think that he'd do this in the privacy of his own home?
Yeah, I guess it's tough to get a corpse in there, but
the man was dressing. I actually think it's more difficult to do this outside than do it outside. While the man was dressing, it was discovered that the female was unresponsive. They called the EMTs, I don't know why, and they determined that the female, she had been dead for some time.
That's the official quote?
What I love is when they said that she had been dead for some time. What that means, in my mind, is that half her face was fucking gone.
Yeah.
They arrested, he's 55 years old, Kenny Whitehead. They charge him with necrophilia. They did not, there is no bail for some reason. An autopsy will be performed to determine the cause of death of the person. And the only way to describe the mugshot of Kenny Whitehead is that he looks surprised. And he looks like, well, it's more like a,
if you're having sex with a corpse in broad daylight, I don't think you should be that surprised. He looks like, yeah, man. I mean, it's an African-American fella. He's in Bibb County.
I got caught in the moment.
Yeah.
She was looking all flirty, sitting there all dead.
Oh,
and so
my.
I just couldn't help myself. I blame the woman.
So do we know who this poor woman is? Obviously, her family is going to be quite upset about
I don't know, but I'm going to be really upset if it turns out to be Betty White.
That would be very sad.
That's not how I'm saying it. If that's how we find out that Betty White is dead, what if we find out that she's dead? Because that fucking Danny DeVito's been fucking her corpse behind a dumpster and somewhere in Beverly Hills.
Well, Danny would never do that.
He would not.
As soon as Betty White, I'm not going to say the words, Betty White and Willie Nelson, if they do end up dying, then I will believe death is real. But until those two people have met their maker, then I think we still have a chance at eternal life.
I mean, she is still alive, and they are keeping her fucking working. I don't know why she's got to keep working.
I was watching Shark Tank, and one person did have a company that he was trying to pitch. It's called Rent-A-Grandma. It's called Rent-A-Granny.
Oh, it's true.
And at some point, I do think the manager of Betty White, we got to make sure she wants to work.
I think we need to make sure she wants to work. It was like when we were in Sydney, in Australia, I remember that the hotel restaurant they were staying at had this fun thing called bring an old person to a spaghetti dinner for free thing that they were doing, which is just like, that's fine and all. That thing is very sweet. Yeah, if you have a nana that you want to bring out and she can eat for free, eat spaghetti for free. But if we're just grabbing free ass old people on the ground to get free spaghetti, like if we're just kidnapping elderly people.
It's literally Ben Stiller's character in Happy Gilmore. You cannot put the old people to work.
No, we can't. It's just like, well, your back's going to hurt because you just pulled lawn duty. Like, very, very fast.
Well, obviously, not all old people are good. Just briefly, there is a woman. If you live in Nebraska and if you're gay, you got a lawsuit filed against you. There is a psychotic woman who is suing every homosexual. It literally, the name of the lawsuit is Driscoll v. Homosexuals. I cannot believe this is real. Sylvia Ann Driscoll, 66. It's a 7-page, neatly handwritten petition. The suit doesn't cite any case law, but she's not happy with it. She says it's the plaintiffs are God and his son, Jesus Christ. She's suing all homosexuals for religious and moral laws.
It's going to be difficult. She's going to spend a lot of time in court.
Yeah,
I think. I feel like that's going to be a long trial.
But you know what? Maybe that's good for her. Just stay in court and out of Walmart. Maybe that's the best spot for you.
I think she's going to get hit by a car.
I think it's whatever happens to her, I will be fine with knowing that she is no longer with us.
Yes, I am fine with that. I want to give a quick shout out before you do Hero of the Week. There's an excellent New York Times article called Quarantining with a Ghost. It's scary. Written by Molly Fitzpatrick.
Awesome.
Yeah, very funny. Talking about the rise in quarantine ghost sightings and rise in paranormal activity during quarantine. And they quote my buddy John Tenney, the paranormal expert, who is just fucking hilarious. And basically he says, yes, he went from getting like a couple a month to getting 5 to 10 calls a week.
Woo!
Saying ghosts are coming up people's ears. Mostly he's saying, I'm going to say this has to do with a heightened paranoia due to COVID-19. We actually saw a spike of ghost activity during Y2K, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Where people calling and saying they're having ghost activity. But mostly he's like, you're just hearing noises you normally don't hear because you're normally not at home. You're at work.
What about the alcohol and weed uptick? Because I know the booze industry and the weed industry is doing pretty well during all this.
I wonder
if people are just hammered at 2 o'clock in the morning, you do start to hear things that you previously hadn't heard. So.
You see, I just get ideas for what I want for the future humankind.
Yeah. What was the most recent idea that you were spitballing around in your head staring at your dog?
I was talking about this yesterday. I really like the, I have an idea for, I have some programming ideas. Mm-hmm. I have some programming ideas. I really love our drunk mystic idea that we came up with the other day.
Sure.
Where we do, we get psychics and we get drunk and we say that it makes us more psychic.
Yeah.
And we start like calling people and telling them shit that the grandmas are telling us.
Yeah, yeah,
which is going to probably be stuff like, send more nudes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously drunk psychic, that is a hella of an idea. And I think it would be great for the American people. We need more drunk psychics on the clock because, you know, unfortunately, all psychics are indeed drunks because you got to turn off the third eye.
You
it's the only
shut
way to
off
clock
the psychic. That's not true. Some psychics are not. Some psychics that because the truth does impede your ability to do it. Same thing with weed.
All right. All right. Well, let's do Hero of the Week. This week's Hero of the Week, we're going all the way to the liberated people of South Korea. A South Korea football club. Oh, my God. So they had to apologize, as everyone always has to apologize these days. But what did they do wrong?
What did they do wrong?
The stands are not filled with people. So they said, we have a solution. We're going to fill the stands with socially distanced, mask-wearing sex dolls. Yes, they still kept social distancing. And yes, they put masks on these sex dolls.
Now, my question is, was anybody fucking these dolls?
No.
Or they just became spectators?
They were just spectators enjoying the game. They were even holding up signs. And the football club, obviously they weren't chanting or anything, but the fan, I'm sure the players really enjoyed it. People said, oh, it would have been fine if it was mannequins, but they didn't like that it was adult sex dolls, both men and women. This is one fan who wrote on Instagram, honestly, if you saw the mannequins, you should have thought they were strange. Others were incredulous that the club would do this. This is according to one woman. Another fan wrote on Instagram, the female mannequin dressed in white short sleeve t-shirt, the breast excessively stood out. The breast excessively stood out.
But
and
that
the
must have really inspired the teams, right?
I don't know. And the nipples, she says, were protruding. Can you believe
that? That's incredible.
But if you didn't know that they were an adult, you didn't know they were an adult product, you are kidding me. So apparently a lot of people are upset. They issued an apology. This is according to the according to the football club, they say, and again, that would be soccer, regarding the cheer mannequins that were installed during the game on the 17th.
Cheer mannequins.
We sincerely apologize for causing deep concern to our fans.
Oh, whatever, man.
Come on.
You want to see them nipples. You want to see, that's the whole point. I would prefer if the entire audience always was wearing sheer shirts.
Absolutely.
All people want to see is nipples. You don't think that those footballers don't want to see nipples? They're forced to be home with their wives. They're used to getting strange all over the world.
Well, that's possible. They are a very attractive group of athletes. They run about a marathon a game, they say. So anyway,
whoa,
this football club, yes, they had to apologize. And yes, we won't see these sex dolls anymore pretending to be uproarious fans. But you, South Korean football club team in FC Seoul, you are this week's Hero of the Week for creativity.
Good work.
Seeing a sex doll and realizing they're more than just a sex doll. They can also be a fan.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, they like football.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Sex.
And sex.
And isn't that woke?
Isn't that something? Now all of a sudden these sex dolls, yes, they're going to want more rights. Yes, they're going to want to go to the store with you. Start bringing them.
If you're, honestly, if you're deciding to really, like, be with a sex doll, you have to commit.
Absolutely.
And it's more about, are you willing to commit?
Absolutely.
Because it's difficult, because you have to give up a lot, because it's not, you're not going to be eating for just one anymore. You're going to be eating for one and pretend eating for two in the saddest, most broken way possible, where you're just folding food into this plastic doll and it falls on her pussy.
No, I've seen, you know, they are giving them digestive tracts now.
No, I've seen that. So the cum has a place to go. I love science.
Yes. Or
I
food.
Really, you know, I love science. But this is incredible. I do eventually next week be able to get into the story of the man who's had sex with 1,000 cars.
With 1,000 calls?
1,000 cars.
1,000. He had sex with 1,000 cars?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we have to do that next week.
All right. Let me tell. This is a little bit of a story. We got a couple. the emails. Oh, number one email that I wanted to go through. This is fun as hell. Do you remember last week how we covered the story of the guy who jumped onto the wine truck?
Yes, and he was able to guzzle quite a bit of wine.
We have a couple, we have people that work for that company, and I got some pictures of it that listen to the show. I just want to give big ups.
Yay!
Big shout out to Cherokee Freight Lines. Thank you for listening to the show. And we hear, I don't want to hear it, so we have a little bit more details about this guy. All right. So, hello. I've been an employee at the company Cherokee Freight Lines for many years now, and I was able to watch all of the security footage from the various cameras we have on our trucks and trailers.
Okay.
It is one of the funniest things I have ever seen.
Awesome.
And we've had some insane incidents over the 50-plus years as a business. This man, remember, this is the guy who stole wine from a moving wine truck.
It is still hard to explain how he did it.
So this is how we did it. The man managed to get our driver to pull over by pulling in front and as slow as driving as slow as possible in front of the truck.
Okay.
My way, my psychological warfare on the road. That's what I use. When both vehicles were stopped, the man opened his trunk and our driver, not knowing what he had in there, he started backing up. That's when the crazy man ran to the back of the truck and saw and jumped and held onto the ladder going full freeway speeds for miles, leaving his car just open in the middle of the highway, right? So the truck pulled off to get away from him. Didn't quite see that he had jumped onto the back of it.
Oh, my God.
So he got on top of the truck. He rode it like a bull, sometimes with only one hand, clearly having the best day of his life.
Oh, my God.
What was left out of the news footage was the man cupping the wine into his hands and bathing his entire body with it, very much like he was soaping himself up in a shower, like a cartoon.
Like with the armpits, like yes. A cartoon drunk in a tub to try to sober up.
This went on so long that we had to fast forward the video. Next, he proceeded to scoop up the wine from the side of the road and throw it into the dirt along the freeway, also for several minutes. At the end of the ordeal, as California Highway Patrol pulled up to arrest him, you could see the man jumping up and down, waving and giving a thumbs up to our driver as if saying, thank you for everything. But if you see, it wasn't wine. It was like wine concentrate.
Oh,
like it was this thing
God.
That they sell. So he was completely stained. Red and purple, and they've got pictures of the handprints that she took on the side of the tank. That is just fucking incredible. I love that shit, man.
Oh my God. Well, I'm happy nobody died. I mean, as far as all of the crimes that we cover, that is the most lighthearted one we've had in a while.
It's one for a while. I mean, God knows what else he did with his life.
Hell yeah.
Now this comes from, I'm going to just say this story. Now there's a lot of coverage of this type of creature. And I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to do follow-up research afterwards and talk a little bit more about it next week.
Okay.
Now, this is fairly common. I've heard about this. If you're a Coast to Coast listener, you've heard about this activity. If you've known anything about the black-eyed kids, like this is in the same wheelhouse. This is one of those characters from that world. I've been visited by an entity since I was young. Pretty soon after getting my own bedroom, he began to appear. In the middle of the night, I would suddenly and completely wake up. I would go from a deep sleep to wide awake in an instant. There was never any reason for it. No sound, no Southern California earthquakes, no identifiable disruption that could have woken me. It would take a minute for my eyes to adjust to the darkness. The shadows becoming more and more clear until I could make out the familiar shapes of my furniture and decorations. But then I would be compelled to look at him, the figure in the doorway. In the moment, I didn't feel fear, but I had to look at him. And I had to stare at him until I fell back asleep. I don't know why I couldn't fight this urge, but it was undeniable. He is tall, with a black trench coat, and always wears a hat. Sometimes it's a fedora, sometimes it's a top hat. He is tall enough that he has to lean forward to keep his hat from pressing into the ceiling. When I would awake to see him, he would always stand and watch me intently. His face was featureless and shrouded in shadow, but I had the distinct feeling that he knew I was awake and knew that my eyes were locked with his gaze. I kept perfectly still because I felt if I moved, he would be compelled to harm me. I could never keep track of how much time would pass, but eventually, I'd fall back to sleep. I would remember his visits immediately upon waking up, and sometimes throughout the next day or week I would recall, and I just feel terror. And that whatever this entity was, it was surely evil.
Mm.
For many years, I shrugged it off as a simple episode of sleep paralysis. I have been plagued by this my entire life, waking up to my bedroom covered in spiders, seeing a dark, angly creature perch on my chest, or finding myself in an alien facility. However, the Hat Man was the only visitor who remained consistent throughout my entire childhood and into high school. Then I met the woman who I eventually married. See, guys, it gets better.
Look at that.
One day, the topic of sleep paralysis came up. I told her casually about the dark figure I would see growing up. Her face drained of color, and she told me to describe him. I recounted his tall weight, his tall height, dark cloak, and ever-present hat. She told me she had seen him, too. In fact, he was a regular nocturnal visitor during her childhood as well.
Whoa!
She remembered telling her mother that the man she could only see at night, only to be laughed at and asked if Dick Tracy came to stare at her at night.
Oh, no, come
Mom.
On.
No, and guess what? If it was Warren Beatty, there's a problem.
There needs to be an investigation. It sounds like Tyrant from Resident Evil 2, or Mr. X, they also call him.
Interesting. The visits she experienced were very similar to mine. He would stand in the doorway to her room and stare at her, and she was too compelled to look at him and remain motionless. Being huge fans of the show and therefore of the supernatural, we often talk about these kinds of things. During one such conversation, her sister brought up that she would see the same figure at night as a child as well. She described all of his defining features, with no prompting for us, that matched our experiences exactly. The Hat Man is a worldwide phenomenon. And that's where if you do, I'm going to start looking at some of this. This is very, very interesting. And they are seeing a lot of people. It seems to be attracted to emotional turmoil.
Oh, interesting. Well, then we should all have the Hat Man in our homes 24/7.
But if you had any experience with the Black Hat Man, please send it to me because I'd love to hear it. Because it reminds me during time when we were doing our Men in Black episodes when I saw the Plaid Man that also turned out to be the Flannel Man, which turned out to be some sort of one of these entities. And I'm highly interested in stuff that flip-flops around like that.
All right. Thank you all so much for sending in your emails, sidestories.lpotl@gmail.com. And thank you so much for your support when it comes to buying the merch. You guys have been incredible. Thank you so much. I hope you're enjoying it. We're going to continue to stock up the store so you can go to lastpodcastmerch.com to get as much merch as you need.
Jeff the Talking Mongoose, you got to get that limited edition shirts coming out. It's going to end June 4th. You're also going to want to check out. We're going to have some Page 7 merch.
Yeah.
Coming your way. And I have all this kind of stuff. So please check it out. Lastpodcastmerch.com. 6.66% of all sales goes to One Fair Wage. We're going to do that for a little bit longer.
That's
while
for the,
we are
until
still
the end
rebuilding.
Of this month. So if you're on the fence about buying it, please pull the trigger and we'll be helping out some folks as well. And then, of course, you can watch our live show, lastpodcastlive.com. And remember what live performance was, as we again be in front of you. But until then, you can watch us on lastpodcastlive.com.
Do it! Yes. Come and see what it's like, and I can't wait to leave my home again.
Yay.
I want to see all your faces outside, and then I'll laugh.
Well, you might get punched in the face if you... why are you laughing at me?
That's what I'm laughing at.
But you're laughing
I'm
at me.
I'm laughing at the cosmic ruse we all fucking found ourselves in believing we have some kind of body when actually we are astral beings trapped within this hair covered flesh that should be released by gems. We're going to get into that this week on HPB part 2. I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, that reminds me, I have Marianne Williamson as this week's throwback top hat interview. Of course, she's very spiritual.
Can you tell her to release my mother from A Course in Miracles? Thank you very much. Then we have. You gotta live every day, man. Live every day. Every day counts. Even during this time period, you think it doesn't count, but it actually does. Every single you do, it's just moving towards whatever time's gonna be after this. So remember that. Fucking stick to it.
Okay.
Living for post-quarantine you.
Okay.
Every single day. So go out there, lift your weights. I don't know how you do that. Go out there, fucking wrestle your family for exercise. You gotta do it. All right? And love the fact that now we have a chance to really concentrate on our inner demons instead of our outer demons. I think it's really, really nice. It gives us the opportunity to really laser focus into what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
And that's what's, I love it. It's the best and it's super easy and it just gets easier.
Yes, it does, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening.
Oh, yeah. Happy graduation to the graduating class of 2020 that's not getting any of that. But guess what? My high school graduation sucked. So you guys just have a good time.
My graduation was a blast. We got hammered in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah, well, they're not. None of these kids are doing that. So remember, college is better anyway. Fuck high school.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Help me. Help me.
There it is.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.